We're going to go ahead and go through this mikvah. Amen. How many know it's good to do a mikvah? Isn't that right? Amen. It's good to come before the Spirit of the living God. Praise God. The first thing I want to do right now is have you take your pen and pencil out. I know you walked through this, and this is a double check we're doing, and I want to take you into Deuteronomy 27 and Deuteronomy 28 and begin to go ahead and go over that. On the back of your first page there, or should you say in the very, you should see family tree exercise right there. Family tree exercise. Why don't you go ahead and begin to fill that out. If you can give just a little bit of light just right above them. Bless you, Lenny. God bless you, brother. Just a little bit of light so you can see that. Go ahead and fill that out. Let me tell you what happens even if you filled it out before. What happens is as you begin to write, God begins to show you some things. And your first thing you want to write down, if you could, is write down your father and your mother's name. And beside that, write their ages down. So you should have your father, your mother, and the ages. Does anybody need more light, or how are you doing? Okay? All right? Praise God. Doing good? Excellent. So, and if they're deceased, you still write their name down and just guess their age. It's fine. So you have your father and your mother. If it's a stepfather, then you go ahead and put that down also. And your grandfather, his name, on both sides, and your grandmother on both sides. If you do not know, that is a sign that there's been a curse operating, isn't it? On the bottom it says the name of your step-parent, your adoptive parent, and then all of your children. In some cases, in my case, takes a little while to write all those names down. Praise God. Amen. So you have all of your children, and then you've got their ages also. If one of those children were, or yourself, was what is called a bastard child, it means you're born out of wedlock, then you make sure and you denote that on there, because we want to break the curse of the bastard child, which goes for 10 generations, a picture of Judah and Tamar. Also, any adoptive children you have, all of your siblings. And one thing that's missing on here that we need to make sure and go over is you should be writing on there your either ex-wives or ex-husbands should be written down there. So again, from the top you have your father's name, your mother's name, your grandfather on both sides, your grandmother on both sides, your step-parents, adoptive parents, all of your children, all of the adoptive children, and all of your siblings. And remember, by siblings means brothers and sisters, and their ages now. Now write their name. Don't just write four brothers. Make sure you write their name down. Even the ones that have passed away, that's fine. What are we after? We're after here, as we go into this, if you have your Bible, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 27. We're going to be talking about, as we've been sharing last on Sabbath and during the week in the Torah studies, we're talking about secret sins. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 15. It says, "Cursed is one who has made any carved or molded image in abomination to the Lord by the work of the hands of craftsmen and sets up sins in secret." All right? Now, what I'd like to do right now, once you know you've done the family tree, I want you, if you could, I want you to go ahead and I want you to begin to turn back to the area of page number 3, blessing and cursing. I want you to read that with me. It says, "Pride can be linked as a root of the disobedience, going back to the fall of Lucifer. However, pride manifests itself in many ways. This exercise discusses 7 of the more prevalent ways pride manifests itself as outlined in Deuteronomy chapter 28. God allows his curses to come upon his people due to our transgressions. Many of us would go back to our forefathers. Transgression literally means to cross or to go against God's will. This is our active refusal to acknowledge and observe the Torah, God's teaching and instruction in our daily lives. The Torah describes in detail blessings and cursings and consequences of our life's choices. As the consequence of our actions, we either choose his way, blessings, or suffer from the consequences of disobedience, curses in our own lives, both of which may be passed down to the third and fourth generation. Curses that are passed down from the generation to generation are known as iniquities. Transgression is the disobedience we willfully do on our own. Our transgressions can become iniquities. The decisions we make today not only determines our destiny, but could be determine the destiny of our future generations. It is very important to bring these iniquities and transgressions to Yahweh in repentance to in order to be victorious over them. So here are the breakdown of them. Of course, we have mental and emotional sickness. We have repeated chronic sickness, barrenness, breakdown of marriage, continued financial insufficiency, being accident prone, and a history of suicide or unnaturally timely deaths. Do any of these curses apply to you or any of your in your family? Let's discuss them one by one, and after this exercise, we'll write the names of each of your persons in your family and those affected by the curses. Okay? So, if you'll turn to page number 4. Can you read with me? This is Deuteronomy 28, verse 20. Read that with me. 1, 2, 3. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion and rebuke in everything you put your hands to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. Now, possible root causes of occult involvement, whether it be in white or black, magic, paganism, earth worship, Wicca, New Age, involvement in secret societies, Freemasonry, lodges, elks, moose, fraternities, sororities, involvement in horoscopes, astrology, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and I'm going to add a couple things to that, and that is if you're involved in Kabbalah or Kabbalistic teaching, I believe it's totally witchcraft. You're involved in it. And you need to write that down there also. Or you're involved in any kind of renouncing of Yeshua as being divine. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Yeshua HaMashiach is divine, he's not deity, but he's divine in his humanity, I believe that you've been seduced by a seductive spirit. And you need to know that any kind of that, anyone who does not believe that Jesus Christ is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh in the flesh, I believe you've been seduced by a seductive spirit, and it is absolutely from the occult, and you need to repent for it, okay? So we're going to break any power of Kabbalistic teaching or Kabbalah. We're going to break its power tonight, isn't that right, over us, okay? All right, it comes out of Rabbinic Judaism when it went astray and went away from the Messiah and went one direction. And, of course, Biblical Judaism is what we believe in here. And, of course, in Christianity, there is a certain amount of Kabbalistic teaching that has been taught, too. And so we want to break those things. How many of you are ready to get free tonight? Amen? Praise God. Amen. So I want you to be thinking. Just take a moment right now. I want you to look back, not to you, just to you, but to the third and fourth generation. I want you to be thinking about anyone that has those types of sins. Now, one of the things that we want to remember is that we are trying to break the curses of the generations that are sins that are done in secret. Isn't that right? Sins that are done in secret. All right, we want to be thinking about that. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 27. What are sins that are done in secret as you're beginning to think? These are sins that take away your self-esteem and self-confidence. Remember, people, what eventually happens is that anytime you get involved in the occult or you get involved in mysticism or you get involved in Kabbalah, whatever, the end result is always rage and anger. Okay? It's rage and anger because that's the fruit of that. So we have to really break its power over us. Remember white witchcraft, black witchcraft, Ouija boards, tarot cards, masons made vows and oaths. These are all vows and oaths that God says, don't make vows and oaths except unto the Lord. So we want to break those powers and renounce those vows and oaths before we go into Yom Kippur. Possible symptoms and consequences, again, are confusion and depression and constant emotional roller coasters. Isn't that right? Amen. Okay. Let's go into the second section. And the second section is repeated chronic sicknesses. Okay. Now, as we go back into this, one thing I want to share about mental emotional sickness, about confusion and depression, is one of the things that I began to look at, and I began to ask myself, why is it that I continuously struggle in this? Now, part of it is a process, because the kingdom of God is a process, isn't that right? It begins to open things up, and sometimes you see some ugliness. How many of you have ever saw ugliness in our life? Amen. And we want to get rid of it. And so it begins to do that. But the kingdom of God, Malchut Shemayim, the Torah is a process, and it takes you through a process in which you need to be healed. Isn't that right? In Deuteronomy 27, I'm going to read a few things. It says, cursed is the one who treats his father and his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say amen, as they said amen. Okay, so your forefathers agreed to that, you would be cursed. And so six men went on Mount Ebal, six men on Mount Gerizim. And what happened? That God began to deal with the secret sins. What's another secret sin? Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all right. Did you, have you cheated your neighbor? Have you cheated in real estate? These are just ideas that I want to share with you that you begin to address in your spirit. Cursed is the one who makes blind people to wander off the road. Either those are blind spiritually or blind physically. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Have you wrongly done or dealt with the stranger, the father, and the widow? Exodus 22:22. In other words, have you been paying child support? Have you not? I mean, have you as a man know that you went into a wicked divorce situation, and what happens is your children are right now are fatherless? Have you gone back to visit them? Or is it a contentious situation? We need to go back and we need to make it right with our children. 19, Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed is the one who perverts justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. 20, cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he's uncovered his father's bed. And have any of you, been exposed to incest? All right, today we're going to be addressing, God says, incest, rape, molestation. The largest percentage of women are have been exposed to incest, rape, and molestation. And what does it do to you? It causes a spirit of confusion to come over your head. Your perception of things is not correct. You think you've dealt with things, but in reality, you've just stuffed it. And God says, man, we've got to get that out. Amen, everybody? We've got to get this thing out of it. We've got to move on with our life. We can't continue to stuff things. And psychology a lot of times doesn't deal with it, but our profession of our sins and begin to operate in the teaching and instruction of Torah, it helps us to be set free of that involvement of that, which causes confusion and depression, all right? What is depression? Your perception has been perverted about what God is really doing in your life. Verse 21, cursed is the one who lies with any animal, bestiology, all right? Sexual sins in relation to that. Curse number 23. Curse is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. It's not whether or not you lied with her. Did you lie with her in bed? In the sense of mentally and spiritually. Many times, as a young boy, woman, you got into that, between a brother or a sister situation or whatever it may be, and it caused thoughts that are not right. You can't look upon your wife in a clear, perceptive way. If that is it, then write it down. Just write, as I read these, just write it down. Curse is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. Again, these are sins that are done in secret. Curse is the one who attacks the neighbor secretly. Are we doing Lashon Hara? Do we try to self-motivate ourselves? Another thing that I find is about these areas of secret sins are when we're in competition with our the brothers and what I see so many times happen in amongst women and that type of thing is that when we get involved in Torah and that type of thing, we're almost like competing with our children. We try to compete knowledge-wise for Hebrew, and we try to compete knowledge-wise to be bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah. We want to take the place of our children because we've missed a portion of our life. And in reality, what God wants us to do, He doesn't want us to do that. He wants you to be able to set up your next generation and be blessed. Isn't that right? Amen? He doesn't want you to go up and try to seek to be a bar or bat mitzvah when you're 40 or 50 years of age. There's nothing wrong with it. He wants you to take your children and teach your children's children so that you can be a witness to your children. Is that right? Amen? You're not replacing your children. You're not your children. You don't have to be jealous of what they're learning. You need to stand in support of them. So part of those feelings that you're feeling is a sign of emptiness that you have inside of you. And so you need to ask the Lord, what is it about me that I feel empty, that I'm always searching, and I'm always want more knowledge, and that type of thing. 25. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to stay and to slay an innocent person. All right, and 26. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of the Torah. All right, so next word, I want you to write this down. We're going to repent tonight. Then the Bible says in Deuteronomy, it says that we are both standing at Mount Sinai. God said, I made a covenant with those who are standing on Mount Sinai and those who are not. And we're going to repent tonight for breaking the Torah that we've seen at Mount Sinai. Isn't that right? Deuteronomy 28, we're going to get into that in just a second. Okay, let's go into repeated or chronic sicknesses, especially hereditary. These are called diseases of the spirit. The possible root causes on page number 4 is a bitter root judgments or unforgiveness, especially towards parents, spouse, ex-spouse, employers, or against anyone who abused or has been abused or molested. Bitter root judgments. We've talked about this before. If you're a woman and you have bitter root judgments, and one of the, it's not scientific, it's not diagnosed, but the rabbis have concluded after a number of years that their perception is that when you have sugar diabetes or asthma in your bloodline, not always, but there's a high chance that there has been in your bloodline before you. It has to do with, for a woman, it has to do with current bitter root judgments towards her husband, or current bitter root judgments towards, of course, her father. And if it's not that, and you have sugar diabetes or asthma that you've experienced before the age of 50, then it has to do with bitter root judgments that went back to the second and third and fourth generations that you've taken. What was transgression? It's when willingly and knowingly transgressing the Torah. What was iniquity? It was the sin that was passed down to the third and fourth generation from the previous fathers and mothers before you. And so what does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to be able to understand that many times we inherit the iniquity of our forefathers. All right, so now I want you to sit there for a second. I want you to think of the people you wrote down in that sheet of paper at the very beginning. Your grandparents, your mother, your father. And I want you to ask yourself this. Was any one of those raped, incest, or molestation? Was there any of that at all? Now, I want you to look at the ages that they died. If they died before the age 50, there's a high chance, not usually, but there's a very high chance they were involved in sexual immorality. Why is sexual immorality? Because I have, in all my mikvahs I've ever seen, anybody who continuously goes on in sexual immorality or adultery with his wife, I have yet to see a man ever, and I've done over 1,700 mikvahs, I've yet to see a man live past 50. God kills him. And so you say, God kills him? Yes, he does. Scripture and verse, Exodus 22, verses 22 through 25. You wrongly judge a widow, an orphan, or the fatherless among you. And what happens is that when you cheat on your wife, you're in essence putting your children in a status of a fatherless role. You've taken it upon a different wife. And God says, if you wrongly did that, your wife and your children shall be widows, orphans, and fatherless among you. So what does the Lord show you? It says, listen, you know what? We need to look at this area of sexual immorality, adultery. We have to ask ourselves, did us or did our previous forefathers before us get involved in that? But I tell you, people, if your father or your mother or your grandparents died before the age of 50, that is a definite clue to you that there was a curse involved. Because God promises you a long life. How many of you understand that? The scriptures are very clear. He promises you a long life. And so you don't have to, how many of you know, people, you don't have to inherit those curses. You can clean up your DNA right now, isn't that right? And how do we clean up the DNA? We go back to our children and we say, children, I want you to know something. I can't zap this thing just like this. But children, I want you to know that there has been adultery. There has been divorce. There has been sexual immorality in our life. And write the names down, just what you're doing right now. Sit down with your children. Take the same form that's in front of you and begin to go over that with them. And begin to say, children, we're going to break these curses of this transgression and iniquity. We don't need to have rape and incest and molestation. Isn't that right? Amen? Amen, everybody? We don't need to do that. And tonight, we're going to break that. Every time you do a mikvah, you should be doing these once a month. Jews do it every week before sundown on Friday night. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit shows you more and more and more. Even though you've heard it, As you go through this work, every time you do it, God will show you more and more and more. I know rabbis have been doing it 35 years consecutive every week. Not to keep themselves holy, because they know that there's iniquity in their bloodline. So that's what we looked at. So if you're a husband and you have sugar diabetes or asthma, it has to do with your bitter root judgments towards your current wife or your mother. Maybe it was an over-controlling, dominating mother. She just domineering, and you resented it. What is bitter root judgment? Also, bitter root judgment in relation to the firstborn child. What happens? If you are a bastard child, you were born out of wedlock. If you were born out of wedlock, I guarantee you, the odds of you getting into bitter root judgment is very high. Why? Because the way the birth took place was out of line with what God has. So now you can come back in line and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not going to participate in the curses of the generation, and it will not go 10 generations. Amen? And remember, people, every time you turn these things around, your children immediately receive the blessing by you turning this situation around. They immediately, people, when do the curses and the blessings take place? The scriptures are real clear. Immediately. Immediately you will be into the presence of God. Immediately, God says, when you renounce these vows and oaths, immediately God says, I advance on your behalf. I make an advancement on your behalf. Is it important for us to understand that? You bet it is. Absolutely it is. So get rid of the vows and oaths. If you're a woman and you know that you have manly characteristics and you are aggressive, and you know, and it's appealing to a lot of women who are, you know, just into a women's lib movement or whatever it is. If that's appealing to them, appealing to you, you need to step back and ask yourself, where did I get that from? Why do I have a manly quality amongst myself when God's not called me to have that role? Amen? And the same thing for a man. Why is it that I can never lead or be a spiritual leader of my home? Why is it that I allow my wife to continually be the spiritual leader of my home? Because, well, maybe there's a breakdown of self-esteem and self-confidence. Diseases of the spirit. What's happening in your house that you will not be the spiritual leader of your home? Why is it that your wife is always a spiritual leader? Or you act like you are one, and you know in your heart, you're almost intimidated by your wife. Well, you know what that is? That is a curse from the pit of hell. Because you as a husband, you are to be the spiritual leader of your home. Your wife is not to be the spokesman for your business, spiritual leader. Not that only old wife's doing it. But she is to be your helpmate. She is a woman. She is a man with a womb. Is that right? And so what happens? We are to turn that thing around. Because why? Because things are out of order. And when things are out of order in your home, now what happens to your sons? They marry women who are what? Domineering. Why? Because the wife was domineering. Isn't that right? Amen? And God doesn't want us to do that. How many are ready, men, to be a spiritual leaders of your home? Raise your hand in there. Amen? If you're ready to be a spiritual leaders of your home. Absolutely. To be the spiritual leaders of your home. So let's look at the diseases of the spirit. Things that arrive from the spirit realm. Possible root causes are bitter root judgments or unforgiveness, especially towards parents, spouses, ex-spouses, employers, against anyone who has abused or molested you. All right? So Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 21, you're plagued with plague diseases. Number two, the consumption of or wasting disease, like anorexia or bulimia. What happens when you have a symptom of anorexia and bulimia? The rabbis will tell you it has to do with bitter root judgments. Why? Because it is a sin against the bone marrow of your body. It attacks the bones of the body. And that's why the Bible is real clear. Laughter is as medicine to the butt, to the structure, your bones of your body. Your bones falling apart, you have a bad frame, you have your bow, you don't stand upright, your posture is not right. It has to do with the spiritual condition in your life. Lord wants us to turn that around. What is bulimia and anorexia? It is a misconception and perversion of who you really are. How many know that? Amen? Some of us, when we were young, you know, my wife has talked about it. You played with Barbie dolls and, you know, and that type of thing. And you played with these different dolls and you saw Ken and Barbie and everything was going to be perfect in your life. Now you marry the guy, and when you marry the guy, he doesn't turn out to be Ken. Is that right? Turns out to be Alex or Herbert, you know, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Right? And all of a sudden, you know, she's expecting Cannon. You know, they make the little cakes and they kiss each other, and you know, they do all this kind of stuff. And you did all of that when you're young, and you looked at Barbie, and all of a sudden you look at your body, and she isn't Barbie. And all of a sudden you have to do bulimia and anorexia. My wife, that was one of the curses that operated in her life. She went all the way to be a beauty queen, a pageant, whatever. Why? Because she wanted to be like Barbie. And it ends up to be a curse. It's a perversion of who you are. How do we know that? Amen? That's not what God wants. Severe burning fevers. Deuteronomy 28:22. Are you, you know, burning fever that's in you? What is it? Related to what? Blood conditions. Isn't that right in our body? Inflammation. Deuteronomy 28:22. Curse of inflammation. Incurable boils. What is boils? Blood disease. Improper diet. Deuteronomy 27, Deuteronomy 35. Tumors, the same thing. Relation to tumors. Laws of Kashrut. Repent. You need to repent for breaking the laws of Kashrut. And also it has to do with the tumors. It has to do, again, with bitter root judgments. What does it do? It puts off a chemical in your body that sends a signal to your body that there it does the opposite of what it's supposed to do. Instead of fighting cancer, it does the opposite. It increases it. Deuteronomy 28:27. Scabs and festering sores. Why is that the curse? Remember, it's Mitzaris. Why? Because things begin to surface to the surface of your body. And they turn into sores. Why? Scabs. Why? Because you have dryness in your skin. And what is the dryness? It's the spirit of the dryness of the soul. It's Mitzaris. It's Zaris. And God doesn't want you to be there. How many remember Naaman? Remember that? In the Bible, God says, you need to go dip yourself 7 times. In other words, go examine your ways. Men, if you have a problem with rage and anger and your blood sizzles every time you fly off the handle quickly, you got some internal situations you got to work through. You're sick. It's not right. You're not right to be able to intimidate your wife by throwing a fit, doing those various things. Those are not right. How many know those are not right? Fits are not right. They're just assigned to you. You have an unwise association. You're not receiving it. You're not processing Torah correctly. You're to treat and honor your wife and honor your children with the greatest amount of honor, or your prayers will not be hindered. Your prayers will be hindered. See how the enemy is? He gets you through rage and anger, and then you mistreat your wife and your children, and then what happens? What happens is that God says you're cursed. And what happens? Your finances are cut off, and when your finances are cut off, what transpires? You get more angry, isn't that right? Until at which time you examine your ways. How many? I'm still love us after tonight, amen. But we need to get this right, because when you start reading those Yom Kippur prayers on Yom Kippur, people, I mean, it is very graphic. It's very detailed. Because if we do it right, this 12 months, the next 12, I mean, I should say on Yom Kippur, by Yom Kippur, the next 12 months will be super, super, super blessed. How many want to prosper? Amen. I'm tired of being where I was before. I'm no longer an Ephraim. How many of you men? How many of you men are ready to get rid of rage and anger? Are you flying off the handle? Everything, you know, you're on edge. You're in debt. You know, you just fly off the handle. And the excuse is because you're in debt. You know, I'm telling you what? It is an unacceptable response to be in anger. T.D. Jakes said in Exodus chapter 3. Remember when Moses went in the rage and anger, people? What happened to him? It drove him into a wilderness experience. It cost him a whole bunch. Rage and anger will always cost you. And what does rage and anger end up in? Suicide and early death syndrome. You'll die early. Because it causes such stress on your body. It tears down your immune system. Rage and anger is wrong. How many know that? Even with women. How many of you know women are not exactly Virgin Mother Marys? How many know that? Amen? There can be some rage and anger. Isn't that right? Come on. And part of the rage and anger that we have to do has to do with between women. Come on. I used to be in Fortune 500 company. How many know women can treat women worse than men can treat women? Is that right? Amen? So we need to be right. Another thing, women, we need to make sure we're not manipulating our husbands. when he wants to become the spiritual leader of the home and you're used to being in that position, how many know you're going to have to eat a big piece of humble pie and actually step away from and say, okay, all right, he's going to lead this time. Now, you may not trust him, but you're going to have to trust God. Is that right? Well, it's quiet in here, praise God, amen. All right? Incurable itches. Sexual immorality. Blindness is a curse, people. Blindness. Why does blindness take place? Well, we are about to lie that the reason why our sight begins to drop when we're 40, 50, 60 years of age is because our body begins to... No, it isn't. It has to do with an improper diet. It has to do with a lot of different things. Blindness also comes from rage and anger. It's chemical things that are coming into your body. You don't have to be poor sighted. What does the Lord begin to show you? Begins to show you. You need to examine what you're putting in your body. Examine. Are you getting exercise? Are you doing things right? Deuteronomy 28:59. Extraordinary, fearful, prolonged plagues like diabetes. And we know September 11th was the attack, but we don't have to live in fear. Is that right? We don't have to plan on escaping to Israel. People, if you want to go to Israel, you're going from the frying pan to the fire. I mean, that's an intense place. Amen, Sandy? It's an intense place. If you're not prepared to go to Israel, if you're not called to go to Israel, I know some of you got your caves planned over, you know, and Aqaba and Petra, praise God. But God's got you right where you need to be. You don't have to fear Prince Charles. How many know that? Amen? We're not going to Prince... That's stupid. You need to fear God. What is fearful? Fearfulness is selfishness. Self-centeredness. That's what it is. If you're living in fear in your life, is maybe your mother, when like my mother, was just nothing but focused in on fear, fear, fear. You heard all the stories. You were downstairs in the basement. Your mother and father were above you. You heard nothing but arguing, whatever. You became fearful. Now you feed that fear because you're looking for fear. You begin to search for fear. And why is the end times and prophecy so attractive to you? Because you want to feed the fear that's in you. Some of you listen to radio stations week after week who talk nothing about New World Order, you know, black helicopters, whatever. You feed that fear because it makes you feel comfortable. It puts you in it. You feel that you're in a safety blanket. And you know what? You're in a disaster blanket. You need to get rid of fear. Fear, God says, I'm not giving you that spirit of fear, but a power and might and a sound mind. Amen? That's the mind that God has for you. He wants us to make it right. Deuteronomy 28:59. Serious and prolonged sicknesses like cancer and heart disease. We don't have to do that, amen? If we are in that current condition, I believe the Lord can and will heal you. Diseases of the Spirit. Why are they called diseases of the Spirit? They originate not on earth. They originate in the heavenlies. Amen? Every other kind of sicknesses and plagues, amen? Point number 5. The late onset of diabetes and asthma often result again from bitter root judgments against your parents, against your past or present, or your present or past spouses. Hereditary types of sicknesses passed down from generation to generation. Many times we are confronted with the effects of the curse. It is difficult to suggest that any specific sicknesses is always or necessarily attributed to a curse. In many cases, it is highly possible a curse is at work, but without further evidence, it would be wrong to assert that this is always necessarily so. There's only one expert whose diagnosis is final, and that is the Holy Spirit. We always need to be conscientious of our dependence on Him and His sovereignty. Amen. Let's go to the next curse. Barrenness, a tendency to miscarry, or related reproductive problems, called sexual immorality. Say that with me. Sexual immorality. Deuteronomy 28:18. Possible root causes, not following the laws of Nidah. Nidah means separation from the time a woman spots plus 7 days. Sex outside of Torah is fornication. Pornography, abortion, affairs, soul ties, flashback of the past relationships, comparing your spouse with your own or their parents, oral sex, which is, by the way, a homosexual act or witchcraft. Where is that found? I'm going to read it for you. It's found in Leviticus chapter 15. why am I hitting on it so heavily? Is because it is an addiction in the body of Christ. Why do we know that? A man told me, we were down in Colorado Springs today, a man told me that the internet site, the World Wide Web, went down only one time in the history of the World Wide Web. Literally, it crashed the World Wide Web. When did it happen? When Victoria's Secret put out a display, and worldwide, there were so many hits on the Victoria's Secret site, literally crashed the World Wide Web. We have a man in Atlanta, Georgia, largest religious programming place for streaming video. We told you this before, out of Atlanta, Georgia. Bought out the religious, offered twice the money for major ministries to buy out any major minister on that streaming video site, from T.D. Jakes to everyone else. Bought out those sites. He was Georgia Businessman of the Year. What happened? They came in, they bought those sites. Why did they buy the sites? Because Christian men and Messianic men buy so much pornography, if they could just get your name, they would make more money by just getting your name, because the largest purchasers of porno sites are Christian men. When Yeshua cast out demons, cast out, drove out, expel, or exercise, we told, where did he do it? In the synagogue, 99% of the time. So, do we feel safe here? I have no idea, you know what I'm saying? I want you to look at this, Leviticus 15:13. I'm going to read it to you. Or 15:1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. Clean means to prosper. Unclean means not to prosper. Verse 3. And this shall be an uncleanness in regards to his discharge. Whether his body runs with this discharge or his body is stopped up by the discharge, it is uncleanness. So discharge was about 10 or 12 different things. Saliva, your tears, earwax, semen, different things like that. But that all relates to blood. Semen is blood. Every man's bed is unclean on which he has discharge, lies, and everything on which he sits is shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Now you're going to see there, all the way through Leviticus 15, there's times where they're unclean until the evening and unclean for 7 days. So you go through and let's go to Leviticus 15:13. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed from his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, bathe his body with the running water, then he shall be clean. So what happens? So a man has a discharge. Is it important for us to understand it? Yeah. It's very important for us to understand that. And why is it important for us to understand that? Because there's a time where you're going to prosper and there's a time you're not going to prosper. And what happens is that when you're masturbation, what is masturbation? You're thinking, how many know, you're not thinking about your wife when you're masturbating. Can I get at least a witness on that, right? Or it's quiet in the room, you don't want to even talk about that because she's sitting next to you, but you can just look straight forward at me, praise God. Amen. As you masturbated. The segment of time, the space of time that you spent doing that is wrong. Why do we come against it? Because it's rampant in the body of believers today. Even in Messianic believers it is. We need to make it right before God. What does it cause? Impotence. At an older age. Causes different kind of sexual sin to go on. And so what do we want to do? We want to reverse the curse. How many ready to reverse the curse? Amen. Women are involved in masturbation just like young men are. And some people say, well, listen, why are we bringing it up? Maybe we'd have never heard about it before. Trust me, your children will eventually hear about it. You better tell them the truth now, then tell them the truth later. Isn't that right? We say, well, you shouldn't have to expose them to that. Listen, you know, you need to know, you know, we homeschool, we do whatever, and I've learned that my boys, whether I told them or not, they'll eventually find out one way or the other, either from me or from someone else. So I'd rather teach them that so they don't feel, you know, dirty. I'd rather teach them about what is fornication, what is not fornication, and then stand with them. When they fall, they can run to you and say, Dad, you know, I struggled in that area. Now you can come back, because you're going to have to eat a big piece of humble pie when your son or your daughter comes back and says those things to you, because now you got to tell them the truth and say, yep, at age 15 I did the same thing, son. Let me know. Amen. So whatever space of time, whether you be 40 or 50 or 60 and you have grown children, even though you're still alive, whatever you're doing, when your children reach 60, whatever you're practicing, that's what they'll be practicing. God is faithful to the curse, and he's faithful to the blessing. Shall be clean. God is, by the way, God is, not Satan, don't blame Satan. God is faithful to the curse, and he's faithful to the blessing. Why? Because he's fair God. So we can turn that around. How many know we can turn that around? Amen. That time that you normally have that ritual of sexual immorality, wash your hands. You apply another ritual to that space of time. And by the word space there, or that ritual, is where we get the word creation. So what happens? We shared with you on Shabbat. It steals your creativity. You can't prosper in your business. You can't think of new sales deals. You can't think of how to be creative with your wife. You can't date her. You don't have conversation. When you sit in a Village Inn restaurant with her, she's looking up one wall, you're looking at the other wall, because it's evidence you have no creativity. What does it mean? It means you're thinking about secret sins. Secret sins will undo you. They'll tear your self-esteem and self-confidence down. Amen? You need to turn it right. Pornography. Whether it be in penthouses or Playboys. How do you know that's just nothing but brush pornography? What will it do? Every day you look at it, every day you participate in it, it costs you 7 days on your own. You can't cut it off. You can't shorten it. When you wash your hands, that's the only way you change the status. But for 7 days, you continuously work for free. And you wonder why you're in debt. And then you get angry at God. And the enemy sets you up. First comes confusion, depression. Then comes the financial instability. You lose your job. Your sales drop. We need to be honest with each other. Isn't that right? I'm going to tell our wife that the reason why I don't have a job, the reason why I can't prosper, we tell her that because we lie. Because we have secret sins going on. The reason really why you lost your job, the reason really why you're losing your sales, is because you have secret sins going on. Not just in sexual immorality, many things. Lying, deceit. Lashon Hara, by the way, Lashon Hara, gossip and murmur, will bring you poverty. It'll make you sick. Flashbacks of the past. Abortion. What transpires with abortion? Women, you always have what? Lower back pains. Your walk has been changed. Why? Because of abortion. Affairs. What will affair do to you, man? It not only steal your creativity, but what will it do? It'll steal your true love that you're supposed to give to your wife and your children. You gave it to someone else, a foreigner. Why do that? Why? Because what will happen? I'll guarantee you, from the time you have an affair, you can chart it on a graph. You will go into poverty. You'll have confusion, depression, you'll have anger, you'll have rage. And women in this room, take notice. If you've got a husband that is in anger and rage, he's in one of two things. He is in either a religious system that is perverted, or he is into sexual immorality in the past, or he is very bitter about something. How many know, amen, this is good? He's bitter about something that's going on. An ex-wife, an ex-husband. Whatever it is, there's something going on. And you sit down face to face with him and you say, we're not in poverty because of this. We're in poverty because something's happened. Now tell me, did it happen back here? I'll be your teammate. How many wives love their husbands if we would just tell them the truth? And vice versa. If there's a struggle going on, let's tell them. Because your wife is everybody in the Simchat Torah loves you. But I guarantee you, the person who will be there for you, man, the person who will be before you when hell and high water comes will be your wife and your children. Those are the people who will stick beside you. Soul ties. Going back for class reunions. You know what class reunions are? Curse. Why are you going back to class reunions? Because you want to go back for your old girlfriend, your old boyfriend. Come on, be honest. Isn't that right? You're not going back to see your old friends. You're telling you that. Most of them are foreigners, aliens by now, Come on. So what do? You dress up, you look better, you cut your hair, you shave, you get your little suntan, you're looking all really good, and you're going to drive all the way back home? Come on. Don't tell me you're doing it just for the guys. Right? The soul ties that happen. How do soul ties? You have intercourse with people. You have soul tie. Soul tie has to do with relationship. See, soul ties are an operative in two ways. One is when you sit down across between a man and a woman, one-on-one, for a long period of time, talking about religious things, midrashing, If Midrash is not done in the context or protected in the context of its witnesses, and is done for hours on end with one of them, you are actually having a soul tie. It's as if you're having sex with that person. You may not have physical sex with him, but you know that there's another way to do that. So why? You get deep intimacy. And then what happens? You get a soul tie. And what happens when that person goes off and decides to marry someone else? Your heart is broken. And from your heart, the enemies select people. Whether it be man or woman, and from that broken heart, what happens? Bitter root judgments. Now you're angry. And then what happens? Puts a chemical off in your body. Now you're sick. And everybody walks around you. No one else can get attracted to you. You're single, but not single-minded. And what happens? So you're single, but married to someone else. If you're a man, follow me. If you're a man that has had relationships with a woman over a period of time, and you find yourself that you can't get married, you just can't get married. Can't figure out, you know, you walk around Simchat Torah, beautiful women in Simchat Torah, Torah observant people, want to walk out everything that's in Torah, but you can't get yourself to move over to that next step and actually be committed to a woman. And the reason why you can't is because you still have a soul tie with a past person. What do you need to do? Write yourself a get, you know? Write yourself a release. Call your old girlfriend and say, Cynthia, how are you doing? I'm doing well. Whatever her name is. And say, Cynthia, have you got remarried? If she says no, clue number one. Both of you have had a soul tie. And now she can't get out of the situation. So what do you need to do? You need to release her over the phone. Soul tie. And now she can't get out of the situation. So what do you need to do? You need to release her over the phone. Don't get back in bed with her. Hello, amen? Because your flesh, your old flesh is, oh, praise God, want to see Rabbi Ralph or Cynthia. Rabbi Ralph, well, I choose Cynthia, you know. Come on. Right? The reason why you're laughing is you're guilty, praise God, amen? Right? What do you need to do? You need to release her. You need to say, Cynthia, I want to tell you, I release her. I can't. Yes, you got it. Yes, you can. You say, I release you. I bless you. I thank you. Forgive me for having fornication. I began to walk and my life's been changed. I began to walk with God. And I want to release you so that you can have a relationship with the Lord and you can go on and be a one flesh covenant marriage. How many know? You don't want her to get married to some man and then she's still thinking about you as plan B. And what happens when you're plan B? Now, remember, as long as she continues to masturbate, think about you, do whatever, and when she's committed to you, what's happening with your finances? You're still in a curse. Why? Because it's actually fornication. It's actually adultery being participated on your behalf. Did it ever cross your mind, men or women, that what you wear, if you cause a man to fall, or he's having sexual relationships with his wife, but he's really having with a girl that he saw at wherever, that she's cursed? You carry a curse. Why? Because he causes man to go into adultery. If a man looks upon a woman with lust in his heart, he's already committed adultery. So what you wear is important. That you don't cause a man to fall. See, we don't think this is real important because, you know what? Because we've never prospered, and we don't know what prosperity is. We're Ephraim. We're coming back from it. Flashback of the past. What happens when you're under pressure? Do you think of your old girlfriend? If you do, you have a soul tie. Comparing your spouse with your own or their parents. Oral sex, again, going back to that. Let's look at miscarriages. My wife, everyone, she'll tell you, she's told you so many times here, you know, we're not proud of it. But even though we have 6 children, we had how many miscarriages? 5 miscarriages or whatever it was? 7 miscarriages. Why? Because from her mother's mother's mother, who, of course, became pregnant out of wedlock, produced a bastard child. Her mother's mother, mother firstborn, produces a bastard child, born out of wedlock. Next one, Marine's oldest sister, same thing, born out of wedlock, produces a bastard child. She told you this last month. Then her sister, her daughter just got married, this year. And what transpired? She was on the pill the whole time she was on the pill. What happened? For some crazy reason or another, she goes off the pill right before she's going to get married. Guess what? She gets pregnant before she gets married. What causes that? A curse pursues you. It chases you down. It pursues you. That's why men, you'll go along for a long period of time, all of a sudden you find yourself in something you've never thought, where in the world did this thought come from? Homosexuality. Or some crazy thing like that. You know where it came from? Your previous forefathers before you. It's called iniquity. They hid it from you, and all of a sudden you find yourself in it and thinking, I never remember my dad doing this. I don't remember my mom. I mean, they were good people. Well, they were good people, but they didn't tell you what had transpired. That's why alcoholism, drug abuse, it's a curse. Isn't that right? How many of us is good stuff, amen? Abortion. Abortion. What is abortion? It's murder. If you've had abortion, we're going to get turned around. Isn't that right? We're going to repent. Isn't that right? Amen? What is abortion? It's witchcraft. It's a desire to what? To take life. What happened? You need to check. You need to repent of that. Fetal death during or before childbirth. We did. We had a set of twins. Marie and I, right before, we had a set of twins right before they were born. What happened? They went in the womb, and the umbilical cord turned around over and over and over again. What happened? We buried two children. I held them both in my hands. They're perfect children. Died right before. Crushed me. See, what nobody told me is that twins were in our heritage. Where's the Rushes? Raise your hand in there. Isn't that right? Amen? Right there. Isn't that right? She's my first cousin. They have twins. They had a set of twins. We had a set of twins. Twins were in our line. But what nobody had told me is that we've had child twins that have died the same way. But nobody told us. Curses pursued us. Her children barely lived. Isn't that right, Vicky? Isn't that right? They were on the last, just barely, God's grace, like to Gary and Vicky Rush. Why? Because we need to tell, you need to tell your children the truth. How many of you, amen? You got to have such a conviction to go tell your children the truth. These are areas I struggled in. Sons, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I struggle in these areas. Man, can you and I come in agreement? And can we bind and not to permit and loose and permit in your life blessing to go forth? Can I tell you what the ages, so that when you get to that age, women, if you were raped or molested at age 18 or 17 or 16 or 15, if you got a daughter that's coming up the same age, you hire the protectors, security guards, whatever, you get it on, praise God. Amen? You tell your daughters. You're going to be tempted this year. You're going to be tempted in this kind of situation. But I want to stand in agreement. Of course you'll say yes. But tell her in advance. Tell him in advance. Don't follow through that. Yeah, I'm going to tell you another curse. Here's one that pursued me. My father's father drove him off the farm. My grandfather was driven off the farm by his father. Firstborn sons. My father, he was driven off the farm because my grandfather took a pitchfork after him and sent him into the military to get him off the farm. My father, at a field called Sandy, Hilly 40, Lord help us, threw an 18-inch crescent at me. Why? Because his father threw a pitchfork at him, and his father threw whatever at him, and his father. So Russell and I got together at age 18. He's 18. We got a few days left, Kevin, until he's 19. And I said, Russell, I want you to be in agreement, son. Would you be in agreement with me? Yes. I said, Russell, much of this year, I was angry at my son. Different areas. I got angry at him. I said, son, I want every time I get angry, I want you to remind me of these curses. Would you do that? And he said, yes, I will, Dad. Because I want you to know, I'm not going to drive you away, Russell. You're going to be a minister of the gospel. Amen? Because we don't need to do that. We don't need to bully our boys. Amen? That's not how you get rid of your sons. You teach your sons. You raise them up in the Word of God. Because we've lived out curses. We don't need to do that. Do I forgive my father? Yes, I do. I love my father. But he didn't know. He didn't have Dr. James Opson and Focus on the Family, huh? Right? He's innocent. Menstrual cramps. Irregular menstruation. Failure to menstruate. What is it? Part of your liver, your kidneys is calling more for on one part, or taxing one part of your body over another part of your body. Is that right? Irregular menstruation is a curse. Menstrual cramps is a curse. It's your. What is it? What is it, people? It curse sounds so evil, you know, so abrasive in English. When in reality is, it's God's grace to you. What is it telling you? It's saying, listen, something's happened to your womb. Something's happening here, either in your previous generations, there was a chemical imbalance, but I want you to go get checked out. Examine your ways. Go to your doctor and examine your diet. Because your liver or your kidney or something's pulling harder on your uterus or whatever it may be. But you should be like clockwork. Isn't that right? You should be healthy. You should be like clockwork. And if you're not, and you can't trace back, maybe there was rape, incest, or molestation that transpired in your life. And if it was, man, we're going to forgive. We're just saying, Lord, I thank you. I just forgive. You know, if this ever happened to me, I may be still a virgin, but I may have been molested. I can't figure out, Lord. I just have some confusion. I can't figure out, why do I get this time of the month? I'm healthy. I can run down the road. I'm doing what? But I'm just like, when I have a menstrual flow, it's like the cramps are so severe. I get sick and I feel like vomiting and whatever. That's not right. And so, you have a right. And we repent. And we go make it right. Amen? Menstrual cramps. Frigidity. Can't respond to your husband. Number one, the number one problem. The number one problem. In Messianic Judaism, the number one problem that I see in sexual relationships between a husband and wife, that is a number one problem. Honestly, from my heart, how many will receive what I'm about to say, okay? Depends on what I'm going to say, right? Praise God, amen? Lord knows, every time you come here, you got to load your guns, isn't that right? What's the number one problem? They don't have sexual relationships with each other. A husband has lost interest. Will go for years, will not have sexual relationships with each other. Why is that? It's not the best. Let me know that. Even though I know it's sensitive situation, it's not the best, isn't it? It's time to go into get a ketubah. It's time to go immerse yourself in water. It's the time to revisit. Because if you're under Torah, God will bless you. The fact that your former husband beat you in that relationship, or you were raped or molested, you don't have to take it out on your current husband. And husband, if you're in a situation where you're impotent or things have happened or whatever, you can turn it around. There's health. There's things that happen. Are sexual relationships important to a relationship done in a proper way? Absolutely yes. It's a power of agreement. And if we're using it as a tool against each other, we need to repent. Amen. Come on. Man, I didn't have six children for nothing. Lord help us. Amen. Right? Amen. We don't have to fear. We're in fear. We're in a sick society that children are almost considered a curse. We won't have children. Why is that? I don't know. If you can't have children, you know what? Then God, you know what? Then you go adopt some. Or you take some of the fatherless children. Or you go to some of the single women in this community and say, listen, can I be a father to your children? Isn't that right? You help them. We talked about it before. Ray Teresa, we were in Detroit, Michigan. You know, man, I'm telling you. We're declaring war in Detroit. 85% of the single women are single women without with children. Now they're growing up and they're in gangs. Because we've not taught these. How many know this is tough stuff to teach, but it's got to be done. Isn't that right? Amen? These are hard issues because people get emotional. They get upset and, you know, they take it out of me later. Lord help us. Praise God. Talking about cysts and tumors, other growths and various reproductive organs. Ask yourself that. Any condition leading to a hysterectomy, prostate cancer in men. Man, people, I'm telling you, I'm telling the men, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm repenting and I'm trying to get it right. But prostate cancer in men, Randy Dreyer right now has got a cancer in his body. Man, I'm telling you, cancer can take you quickly. But we need to repent. What's going on in our diet? Number one problem with prostate cancer is what? Vasectomies. Why? Because we
cut on the body. God says you're not supposed to cut on the body. Tattoos. Addiction for tattoos. Why do we want addiction to tattoos? It turns our magnetic field in our body the wrong direction. Prostate cancer. Low sperm count in men. Why is low sperm count in men? You know why? Come on, cut the chase. It's masturbation. Isn't it? Why? Because we are selfish. We are self-centered. We're thinking of ourselves. We need to turn it around. And if it wasn't you and you're innocent and whatever is your health, then maybe it was your forefathers. But repent into the third and fourth generation. Sexually transmitted diseases. Well, Lord help us. Isn't that right? And women, if you've never had a sexually transmitted disease and all of a sudden you have them, you have things on your ovaries or whatever it is, don't be naive. Check out where your husband's been. Let me know. I'm telling you the truth. You want me to just lie? You need to be wise. You didn't just get those because you didn't handle yourself correctly. You're handling yourself correctly. What's going on with him? Where has he been? Men, you need to be wise. Never send your wife off to a meeting or different meetings or to, you know, to a, you know, a class reunion by yourself. That's naive. That's stupid. How many know somebody's going to hit on your wife? Come on, people, wake up. Amen? Be wise. Men hit on my wife and they're in the ministry. Amen? I'm serious. My wife comes home, well, you know, we just, you know, whatever. Few too many praise the Lords, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Be wise. I mean, raise your hand in the air if I'm not telling you the truth, people. Be wise. Because you're in this setting, don't be naive. But I'll tell you something once again. If you're not having sexual relationships with your husband on a consistent basis, that doesn't mean once every 2 months. Let me know that. That is not agreement. Once a month is not agreement. Barely once a week is an agreement. Because why? Because it takes, it's intimacy. It'll prosper you if you do. Oral sex, is it wrong? Absolutely it's wrong. Why? Because you're putting something in a wrong crevice. It's wrong. How many know we get that down to a science here, praise God, amen? Right? Right? I can't even go there anymore with you, you know? I mean, you're afraid to be afraid to bring any friends here because we talk about it all the time. I could care less. Praise God. You know that. We just can't do it. Not supposed to be done. It's a wrong situation. It's a twisted act. Isn't that right? It's a twisted act. Review the laws. Let's go to page 6. We're reviewing the laws of Nidah. Sacred act. Woman's flow is for the first few days. All of a sudden you don't. Don't cheat on it. Why? 7 days. You work for free. You don't prosper. Honor your wife. She's in her holy estate. Have you or are you now having intimate relationships during her menstrual period? Scripture is very clear that women should refrain from sexual relationships for 7 days from the onset of a menstrual cycle. God speaks firmly about this. And cervical cancer or other female-related problems can, not necessarily, can be linked when violating this part of the Torah. Let's read Deuteronomy 28:41. Breakdown of marriage or family alienation. 1, 2, 3. Read it with me. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Possible root causes, religious pride, anger, not honoring your parents. Possible symptoms and consequences of breakdown of marriage or family. How many have been divorced in this room? 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand in there. Look at this, people. Telling you what, if we don't have breakdown of marriage in our society, how many know we should be doing these types of mikvahs in every church worldwide? Isn't that right? Amen. We would get to the bottom of the issue. Divorce. Is it a curse? Yes, it is. But hear me out. But if you're in a situation right now where you're in a dangerous situation with a husband or wife, the Torah does make a provision because the Torah does protect you. You're not to sit with a man or person who's involved in ranger anger. In any kind of capacity. Have I ever been in rage and anger before? Have I ever got upset? Absolutely, yes. Is every man? Yes. It's not that whether or not it's going to be there. The issue is once it happens, what do you do? But when you physically, when you touch your wife, you've crossed over the border. When you touch her, when you intimidate her by that, you're sick. It's a sign to you that you've gone too far. And according to the Torah, you are cursed. And according to the Torah, you will die early. God said, I'll pursue you to kill you. God will kill you. God will kill you. Your wife probably can't defend herself. Her children can't defend herself, but God will pursue you. Divorce. Poor relationship with parents or grandparents. Why can't we get along? Because we're in Torah? Forget it. That's stupid. Torah is telling you to go out and make relationship with your parents. It's just the opposite. If you think that you're supposed to separate yourself from your parents because they're Roman Catholic or whatever it is, and you're in Torah, you made the greatest mistake of your life. My father's Roman Catholic, but I get along with him perfectly. I want to prosper. Amen? I can't say it's totally perfect in a sense of being born again. He's not born again. But I pray for him. Amen? And I'm here for some reason or another. Somebody did something right. You know? And on my mother's side, we had divorce. Every person, divorce, divorce, divorce. So I've got some work to do with my children. Warning them, telling them, mikvahing them. During, before Yom Kippur, you all go home. Every one of you, you go home to your children, your wife, and you take their feet and you immerse them in water. You wash their feet. As a father, you be the spiritual leader. Then the mother, you do it. And then the children, you do it to each other because I want you to have a good year. Amen? How many of you will take a bowl of water and do that with you? How many of you will swallow your pride? Ray, come on. Raise your hand in the air. How many of you will do that to your children? Well, my children don't get along. They're not born again. They're in, you know, whatever. Rage or anger, gangs, whatever it is. Go back. Make it right. Is that right? Go make it right with your children. Abuse to spouse or to children. If your spouse right now is fearing you, and you've been abusive, Man, you need to get on your feet and get on your knees, I should say. Get on your knees and absolutely wash that woman's feet and say, oh, God, I can't believe I got in the rage of anger. Amen? And go make it right with her. Why? Because I want to prosper. I like to make it right with my wife, but I'm going to be honest with you. I got more of a hidden agenda. I want to prosper. The reason why you're tithing week after week after week and you're doing this is because you're continuously living out curses. Masturbation, oral sex. You're doing these things, and every time you walk up and you put your tithe in the basket and you walk straight back and you continue in that rage and anger, and then you're getting more anger and can't figure out why God doesn't prosper, and then you start this lie. Well, God doesn't teach us to tithe anymore. Oh, stupid. You believe the lie. Go back and ask your father and mother, what was going on? Ask your father and your mother. See, your father and mother can be the greatest key to your success. Just ask them. Grandpa, Grandma, what was happening when you were 56 years old? What was happening? You know what? Maureen and I were talking about this before. We found out that when my father, I began to realize that my father, when he was born, he was there during, right in the beginning, World War II. Many of your parents were there. World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. And there was anxiety. There was things happening. And things out of their control, so they reacted differently because of their fears or whatever it is, and they did stupid stuff. But forgive them. Go back and say, what was happening? How come I have so much fear? Well, you know what? Your dad got drafted, and he went over to Vietnam, and he came back. He was all screwed up. He was on drugs, and he tried to beat somebody, and, you know, he tried to beat her, and curses. Curses. Neglect or abandonment of children, causing them to be orphaned. Man, I'm telling you. I am telling you, we are Simchat Torah. We're going to resolve that problem, just like the Jewish community. 10 men are going to go knock on some men's doors and say, what's the problem here? How come you're not taking care of your children? Talk about a curse. I tell you, if you are abandoning your children, and it's because of you, because you can't get along with your wife, there's such hatred between you and your wife or ex-wife or whatever, you need to go make it right, people. Critical or judgmental spirit. Man, you find somebody in this synagogue who's critical of judgment, has a religious spirit, You know, everything's not done right. We don't read from the Bema. This is, you know, where you Torah scrolls and Rabbi doesn't wear tzitzis long enough. And this, you know, you got a judgmental, sarcastic spirit. It's because you're sick before you got here. You need to go back and make it right. Continued financial insufficient. Let's go on to the next one. Deuteronomy 28:17-29. Curse shall be your basket or your kneading bowl. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be unsuccessful in everything you do. Deuteronomy 47:28. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in anger, in thirst, and in nakedness, and in need of things. Absolute poverty. Proverbs 13:7. There is one who makes himself rich and yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor and yet has great riches. Isn't that right? Amen. It would be unscriptural, again, however, to interpret poverty and abundance by materialistic standards of contemporary Western civilization. Biblically speaking, God's abundance is having all you need to do God's will and something left over to give to others. We must recognize that there is a higher level of wealth than just material wealth. But on the other side of it, don't take on a spirit of poverty. Amen. Don't use your poverty as an excuse that you don't prosper. You know, you need to tithe, you need to give. And the seed that you give is what you'll get. If you give food, you get food. If you give money, you get money. It's really clear, crystal clear. One of the greatest curses I've seen, and I'm thanking God every day, Simcha Torah Beit Midrash is one of the greatest giving groups in the country. I thank God for you, because people, I travel all over the country, and they'll give me a $100 offering. They'll give me a $50 offering. We go in the hole every single time. What does it tell me? It tells me they bought the lie. Don't stop giving, people. I don't care if you don't give to me or whatever. Don't stop giving. You start giving to God and God will prosper you. Amen? Don't take out, because you know you were in a Nicolaitan type of church and you thought, you know, that all these, you know, that you got bitter because they, so to speak, took your money. No, you don't even believe that lie. Just believe God. Listen, in the midst of whatever you're walking in, God, you're still in control. Amen? Give, people. Be giving, people. People will go through financial roller coasters. Look at your family tree. Identify all those that we just wrote down in your family that suffer from chronic financial instability. Ask yourself, why is it that we never prospered? Was it sexual immorality? Was it idolatry? Was it divorce? Whatever it was. One of the biggest areas of continued financial insufficiency is related to sexual immorality. A spirit of lust is the root of both financial insufficiency and sexual immorality. Typically, when one is involved in sexual immorality, their spirit cries out in the form of anger and rage. They cannot save money because of the lust for more things or uncontrollable spending. We've had people here with a spirit of greed. Also, I've had it where they stock up gold and silver. Nothing wrong with that. I love the stock up. It should be in wisdom and that type of thing. But if it becomes so controlling to you that your wife can't go out and spend $5, you're cursed. She's so paranoid that you're going to go out and spend some money that she may see it, or vice versa. You're cursed, wife. If your husband can't go out and do what he needs to be doing, and it's within reason, and you're just constantly controlling him, you know, it's wrong. There's something wrong there. Something that's not right. There had to be freedom in that area. Not that she's paranoid. I tell you, the greatest things, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest things that you can do, men, is to give every month a small sum of money to your wife. I tell you, the greatest things, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest things that you can do, men, is to give every month a small sum of money to your wife. A lady one time in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I told you this story. A lady one time in Tulsa, Oklahoma walked up to me, and she was with Women's Glow. She said, you know, Ralph, if you would just go ahead and you would give a small amount of money to your wife every month, or a large amount, Lord help us, you know, God will prosper you. I believe that God will prosper you. He was an oil man. He said, I don't know why, just busted loose. Things began to be blessed. So I did. Started to give a certain sum of money to her. It was too much, but that's okay. Praise God. No. And I did. I gave it to her. And sure enough, the next day or so, all the good deals started to come in. You know, tires for the car and everything. And so I began to be very Jewish and began to renegotiate the money I just gave away to my wife. Praise God. You know, that kind of thing. You know? And so what did God do? He began to prosper me. We prospered. See, people, one of the people that you should be giving to, one of the first people you should be giving to, husbands, after your tithe, one of the first alms and offerings you should be giving to is not the poor person, it should be your wife and your children. You should be giving it to your wife and women. You owe me a commission after this baby. You know what I'm saying? Praise you. You know? But amen? Right?
Amen.
I'm telling you, seriously. You'll be blessed. I'm going to, one of my future sermons, I blew one of my future sermons I wanted to do. I'm going to hand out a piece of paper. And I'm going to hold the paper. And I'm going to give it to every husband in this room. And I'm going to ask him to give a sum of money to their wives. And I'm going to ask them 90 days later whether or not they're financially more prosperous than they were in the previous 90 days. I'm going to give them as a financial challenge. And to bless their wives. I want our wives blessed. I want them dripping with diamonds. I want them whatever. I want them blessed. Women, you really owe me now. Praise God. Amen. But I'm serious. I want you to prosper. Do you ever see the little Jewish women walking around other than ultra-Orthodox here without, I mean, they got so many diamonds, you know, they can't even hold their hands up, you know? Right? Because they know, man, if their wife is, their prayers will not be hindered. And man, I'm telling you, give to your wife, give to your children, be generous. On Rev Shabbats, you give them some money, you bless them. You say, son, come to me, you know, whatever. You give, I don't care if it's a dollar, or it's $5, it's 50, or it's 100, you know, several hundred, right? Praise God. Dresses are expensive, praise God. Amen. Well, we love this, don't we, tonight? Praise God. You come here as used as a punching bag, isn't that right? Amen. All right. But how many know this is good stuff? All right, next one. Being accident prone. Freak accidents. More likely, you know, you're in car accidents. Influencing spirits. Careless, impulsiveness. Unnatural impulse to do harm to other or to animals. Isn't that something? Rude to dogs, beat dogs, and kick animals around. You're sick. Because if you treat the animals wrong, people, that's how you're going to treat other people. Unnatural impulse to harm or to other to animals. I'm going to talk, you know, Kevin, I know you're a hunter. You know what we're talking about? I know hunters that go out and they're sick. When they shoot an animal, they're not getting an elk, you know, they put it in the freezer. They shoot animals, they shoot birds, and they leave them lay. They let them suffer. And you're sick, man. It's telling me there's something else gone on, some history before you. An unusually high number of vehicle accidents or car accidents. My son in Brussels has been in a few, we said, what is going on here? Then I went back, and I began to realize, oh, that's right, my brother rolled a combine. And lived. Huge combine, rolled it, combine, lived. You know, Lord help us. I can't tell you all the accidents we got. And finally realized, gee, that's right. Gee, my son's going through the exact same thing, exact same age when I did that. Right? You know? Son drove out of the parking lot the other day, Kevin. You know, when he's here, he kind of squealed tires. I was like, Russ, what are you doing? You know better than that. I thought, no, see. Oh, this is not good, you know? Remember all the times I told you and bragged about how my brother and I used to get in there, whatever? And I'm thinking, oh, this has happened at 18 and 19, that's right. Oh, man, this is not good. I want to tell you, write this down. Never forget this, people. I want to tell you something from my heart. We may go to war in Iran and Iraq. How many know that? In Afghanistan. I have four sons. My sons are 18, going 19. Brandon's moving up. And how many of you know, if that war goes on long, I could have some sons in the military. And those who have been in Vietnam and honorable veterans such as yourself and other people will tell you that war is not cutesy, isn't it, sir? It's terrible. I believe that when you believe God, you don't have to go to war. You know that? I believe that you can believe God that your son don't have to go to war. You just say, Lord, I just thank you that some way or another you'll work it out that my son will have to die at the edge of a sword. Isn't that right? And you'll go back into the promised land. They'll become rabbis. They'll become people, whatever. Amen? And we don't have to die early. Remember Lawrence? Was it your nephew, I think it was, who was in here? Barry, remember that? What a sad day. We don't need to do that anymore. Why? Lawrence Clark, praise God. Amen, Darlene. Lawrence, driving Lincoln Continentals right now. Isn't that right? In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Because why? Because Lawrence decided he's going to submit himself to authority. He's prospering. How many know our choir is prospering? Can you see prosperity going on? Amen? Because he's prospering. Because he's the head of that. Davidic dance team. Kevin and our beautiful person, Susie. I didn't want to call you Marsha. That was a close call, isn't it? Amen? Amen? Kevin and Susie, praise God. Amen. You almost got to slow down towards Susie. Just go, Susie, praise God. And not Marsha, praise God. Amen. Prospering. How many know our Davidic dance team to prospered? How many enjoyed last Shabbat? Isn't that right? Amen. Prospered. Prospering. Prospering. Theresa and Jerry, I always brag on Theresa. I love her. She could speak to generations. Just prophesy her. She could speak to the black generations. We're going to come people, the black people are going to be turned around. Isn't that right? Speak to generations of people. People came out of slavery. Bitter people who came out of Kentucky and Indiana and those areas. Right? Come on, people. Black people who got through rape and incest and molestation. When you see those situations going on in the black community, I want to say, man, unrighteousness. These people have been mistreated. Seriously. I grew up that way. We said, man, Nisa, you don't have to live those things out. Well, you wonder if your uncle or your uncle's gonna walk in and have sex with you, or you know, all this sickness. You don't have to do that anymore. Your children don't have to live that way anymore. Amen? I mean, nobody's got the guts to tell you. We're telling you that. You don't have to live out those things. You're not going to live out those things because Torah tears it from you. It puts just a massive conviction in you. You want to turn your life around. You don't have to be going down the interstate wondering, am I going to be accident prone? Am I going to slip? Am I going to fall? Are there going to be bombing in this country? God is a righteous God. And He will protect you. New World Order, black helicopters, fear, fall in the economy. You know, 9/11. That's the generation we are called as righteous people to speak to it. Not fear it. Speak to it. Again, many times freak accidents are unconscious. Self-inflicted because the individual desires attention. Even through careless accidents, reinforce the negative self-esteem or being clumsy. These accidents also bring the attention they desire. This is a cycle that needs to be broken by knowing your relationship with God. Amen? There's a force working against people to trip them, causing them to stumble or impels them to make rash, unpremeditated moves. Forgiveness is needed towards those who abused you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you as your protector and reveal the relationship He desires to have with you. The last section, of course, is the history of suicide and unnaturally and untimely deaths. Possible root causes, abuse, molestation, occult activity. Possible symptoms, consequences. The thoughts of suicide or trying to commit suicide is not God. Amen? Lack of joy in your life. When was the last time that you laughed? You just need to come to Simcha Torah one time and hear me preach. There, amen? Amen? Critical or judgmental spirit. Self-hatred. Untimely death of family members due to murder, suicides, or diseases. Anybody in that family line that you wrote down there, did that, committed suicide? Could it revisit itself? Yes. Why are we against oral sex and the type of thing? Because it's a homosexual act. Why? Because you open your sons and your sons' sons up to homosexuality. Because you participated in a homosexual act. Oral sex is a homosexual act. What a man does to a man and what a woman does to a woman. It's wrong. Now you wonder why you opened it up. Need to go back. Your wife or daughter, son has a tendency towards homosexuality. Go back and repent. If your wife and you haven't been involved in that, maybe your father's before you were. Why is that so important? Because it causes self-hatred. Thoughts of suicide. Some people are always too serious. They may feel that they do not deserve joy or to laugh or to have fun. The Lord wants us to enjoy life. The Lord laughed and also wants us to do the same. We are to remove, renounce, or remit any abuse that may have happened to you, to forgive those who abused or mistreated you or violated you. Isn't that right? Amen? You need to laugh. How many of you love to laugh? Isn't that right? Amen? Amen. We need to have joy in our life before God. Laughter isn't just when your husband comes out of the shower and you look at him either. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Colossians 3. 12 and 13. You thought this was going to be a holy mikvah service. Praise God. Amen. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Read it with me. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, and humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. For I must forgive myself, and then I must forgive everyone who has hurt me physically, spiritually, and emotionally. All right, the process to forgive others, list 1, 2, 3. Jewish tradition identifies three stages in the process of forgiveness, whether you are being forgiven or whether you are forgiving others. The steps are identified by the words of select forgiveness, letting go, and atonement. Forgiveness begins with a conscious attention to forgive. But if the process ends there, the feelings of guilt or resentment reappear when you least expect them. Letting go means I no longer need to have any. At this stage, you may remember the pain, but you are no longer consumed either with guilt or resentment. With atonement, you can accomplish something positive that otherwise wouldn't have been possible. You still need remember, and you still may feel the pain, but the act of atonement transforms the pain into a blessing. Isn't that right? Amen. Home immersion. When you get home, fill your bath water, your bathtub, with a couple inches of water. Get in, then turn the shower. Let the water drain out of the tub while the shower is still running. The way you have purifying water, cleansing water, life water, is your iniquities and your transgressions are draining away. Amen. Confession. 1, 2, 3. Lord God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I ask you to forgive me of any disobedience, iniquities, and transgressions. I ask you to forgive my forefathers for turning their backs on your Torah. I forgive all those who hurt me physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I ask that all demonic influences be bound and not permitted to operate and end life according to the Torah, and that your spirit may be loose to operate in my life according to the Torah, to rule and reign in my life, and to help me walk in your will. I ask this in the name of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Okay? I want you right now, let's pray this with me right now. Are you ready, everybody? Are you ready? Okay. All right. No, we're just going to sit right. All right, go ahead and stand. Praise God. Let's all stand. Amen. Okay, we're just going to move through quickly through these. All right? Just take a moment. Holy Spirit, just show them right now. Anything that they have not written down, anything that we have not crossed over, Lord, I thank you for that. Say this with me. Lord God, in the name of Yeshua, I confess Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. He is divine. He is the Mimra. I believe in Yeshua of Nazareth, that he died on the cross for my sins, past, present, and future. Turn my life around, Lord. I'm coming up on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Lord God, I am believing for a miracle. I'm going to dress in white, and I'm expecting a miracle. Lord God, you said to honor your time, the seasons, and the feast days of God. I seek to do that, Lord. I seek to turn my life around. Lord God, we are in the 10 days of awe. Help me, Holy Spirit, to go back to people who I have bitter root judgments against, who I may have hurt, and I'm going to go make it right. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Whether they forgive me or not, I know I'm forgiven. Lord, help me to go back and make it right in the name of Yeshua. Let's say with me, Lord God, I ask you to break the curse of mental and emotional sickness, of confusion, depression, and the occult. I renounce any vows and oaths that I may have made or my children may have made that are not in the Word of God. Lord God, I ask you to break the curse of mental and emotional sickness, of confusion, depression, the occult, white witchcraft, black witchcraft, Ouija boards, tarot cards, or any other sorcery off of myself and my children's children to the third and fourth generation. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Lord God, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to break the curses of the generations related to diseases of the spirit. Break its power, Lord, of tumors, of cysts, of cancer, of brain cancer, of blood diseases, and other related diseases that come from diseases of the spirit. Lord God, I forgive myself. I forgive you, Lord. I forgive my father. I forgive my mother. I forgive my grandparents. I forgive my children. I forgive anyone who has violated me. I forgive anyone who has raped me, molested me, or caused incest. I renounce its curse. And Lord God, I speak healing and health over my body in the name of Yeshua. Lord God, break the curse of diseases of the spirit off myself and my children's children to a third and fourth generation. Lord God, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to break off me sexual immorality and idolatry and the curses thereof. Lord God, I ask you to forgive me for any known or unknown sin in my life, for any intentional or unintentional sin in my life, for sins of sexual immorality, of oral sex, of masturbation, of pornography, or related types of things of sexual immorality. Lord God, break the curse off my life and my children's children to the third and fourth generation related to sexual immorality, to divorce. Lord God, I truly repent of divorce. Give me a get, Lord, and return my life around. Lord God, break the curses of menstrual cramps, of irregular menstruation. Forgive me, Lord, for the abortions. Lord God, heal me of the abortions. Lord God, heal me of murder in the name of Yeshua. Lord God, I thank you that I may be adopted, and I don't know where my grandparents are, but I know this, Lord, that you...